Some of you, this may be your first time. I invited some friends from work in the back row. Hi, everybody. Welcome. So glad you're here. So glad you're all here. Can you hear me all right in the back?
Yes.
If my voice goes down, just do that for me. Okay. I sang a little too hard. I'm starting to lose it already. Well, tonight I'd like to share some of the highlights of my spiritual journey with you. And, you know, it's kind of a very personal story. So at 3 o'clock this morning, I woke up thinking, am I really going to share all of this with all these people? At work, we call that the saboteur. That fearful part of me was like, oh, my God, do I really want to do this? But I came up with two very good reasons to share my story. One is that I really believe we're all connected. And we all have so many similarities, more similarities than we have differences. And by hearing each other's stories, we can inspire each other. And that's what I hope to do by sharing my story tonight. The other reason that I'd like to share my story is through thinking about where I've been, I can see the hand of God working in my life. And I'm so grateful that I can see that. Otherwise, it may look a little messy and just painful. But with the hand of God in there, there's just the grace that can turn the pain into the joy. And so I hope that maybe you can see the hand of God working in your life as well. So before I get into my talk, I'd like to share a song I wrote back in the early 90s. And it will give you a little glimpse as to my spiritual outlook. And it's called Children of the Light. This is kind of the abbreviated version for time's sake. You have a plan for me to be all I can be, and all I want to do is share my love for you. So take me by the hand, help me to understand how to share your love with all your children. You see, it doesn't matter where we come from, it doesn't matter where we've been, it doesn't matter if we're male or female, nor the color of our skin. It doesn't matter who we love, for all love comes from God above. All that matters is to know that we belong. Yes, we are children of the light, children of light, lighting up the world, lighting it up, making it bright with the light of God's love. Yes, we are children of the light, children of light, lighting up the world, lighting it up, making it bright with the light of God's love. Yes, we are children of the light. Ooh. Thank you. So I was born in a small town in upstate New York. I'm the second oldest of 8 children. And as Millie mentioned, I was born into a Catholic family. Both my parents are devout Catholics. And what that meant for me was that I learned a lot about angels early on. I learned a lot of things, and I'll get to that actually in a minute. I remember in second grade, I went to Catholic grade school. And in second grade, around Easter time, we were shown a movie of Jesus' passion, where he carried the cross to his crucifixion. And I don't remember anything all that gory, but it was bad enough that I felt really, really sad. And at that moment, I believe I fell in love with Jesus. I just realized how much he loved me and how much he cared for us. And that was a big memory for me. Around that same time, I remember sitting in church on Sunday before the Mass started. It was very quiet. There were stained glass windows all around, statues to look at. And above the altar was a circular stained glass window with a picture of the Blessed Mother holding the baby Jesus. And I just felt the peace of that space. And my heart was all aglow. I felt like I was E.T. with my heart light all aglow, recognizing the mothership. You know, it was I'd like to mention a few things about being raised Catholic. As I mentioned, I was taught about angels, about the angel appearing to Mary, about the angels in the Bible, and also that we each had a guardian angel. I learned the guardian angel prayer, which some of you who were raised Catholic may have learned. I loved hearing about the Blessed Mother appearing at places like Fatima and Lourdes, Guadalupe and Medjugorje. I know Jamie went to Medjugorje during that time. I was also taught about the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, and I love the idea that the Holy Spirit was with each of us. The one thing about being raised Catholic that really stood out for me was that they really believe that they're the one true faith. And so faith in the Catholic Church was almost paramount to the faith in God. But I'm grateful that that has transformed for me into seeing the importance of faith in God. The other message I got was, of course, that the Pope spoke for God on earth, and that when the Pope spoke on matters of faith and morals, he was absolutely right. And my dad was always big to point that out to me. I know that. But what message I got from that was that other people knew better than me, and that I wasn't worthy enough for God to speak to me directly, that I had to go through other people. And kind of as related to that, I kind of learned not to trust myself, not to trust my own inner guidance, my own gut feeling about things. In 10th grade, I don't know how I found this book, but I found a book called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. Some of you may have heard of it or read it. And it introduced me to the concept that our thoughts are powerful. And in the book, Norman Vincent Peale uses the Bible and pulls out different verses, such as, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and if God be for us, who could be against us? And it really opened my eyes to how powerful our thoughts could be. In 10th grade was a difficult year for me. I was depressed, and that book really saved my life. So I'm grateful I ran across that book. My parents always wanted a vocation to come from our family. A vocation is when someone feels called to religious life, either to be a priest, a nun, or a brother. And so we'd say our prayers at supper time, and we'd always say a prayer for vocation. Well, I kind of resisted until my first year of college. I really started thinking about entering the convent. So I looked into several communities, and I found a community in St. Louis, Missouri called the Sisters. Now, I need to tell you, when I first went out to visit them, they had a house in Ireland, which was closer to me being in New York. And the one thing that struck me was that not only were they fun-loving, but they drank beer out of a can. That was an important quality, I have to tell you. I remember coming home from that visit telling my sisters, they drink beer out of a can. So I decided to enter the Sisters, and in part because I really wanted to be closer to God, and it was very appealing to me to be a sister to everyone. I thought that was really cool. So in deciding to run to the convent, though, I didn't realize that maybe I might be running from some of my issues. But God had the last laugh because I started to face some things while I was in the convent. So at 20 years old, I entered the convent on September 8th, 1983. I would be there for 2 years, and I learned a lot while I was there. I'm really grateful for that experience. One of the things the sisters taught me, believe it or not, was the importance of questioning authority. There were several sisters there who were very open-minded and were upset about the fact that the Catholic Church still hadn't come around to ordaining women. And you know, it still hasn't happened yet, but don't hold your breath. So questioning authority was a great gift that they gave me. After about a year in the convent, I started to realize that I had issues with alcohol. No surprise. So with their support, I entered a 30-day treatment program. And I began my life free from alcohol. And I have to tell you, it's been a marvelous journey. ups and downs, mostly good stuff. Now, a sober me. Now, that was something else to behold. It presented its own set of problems, or should I say growth opportunities. I didn't trust myself. I didn't know myself. I didn't know how to deal with feelings. I didn't know how to communicate honestly with other people. Oh, I think I forgot to mention that I also grew up in an alcoholic family. So as loving as my parents were and as well-meaning as they were, they didn't have the skills to teach me how to deal with feelings, how to communicate, how to trust themselves. So the first 4 years of my sobriety were filled with a lot of challenges and a lot of growth. In Alcoholics Anonymous, I found the strength to acknowledge that I was powerless over alcohol, and that with the help of a higher power — I really like that phrase, higher power, because it took all the God stuff out of the picture for me so I could start sorting out the good from the things I wanted to let go of. So I like that higher power concept, that with the help of a higher power, I could stay sober a day at a time. I also learned through AA and through the Big Book that God's will for me is to be happy, joyous, and free. I really like that because it's simple. Catholicism has a lot of rules, a lot of dogma and doctrine, and I really needed something simple that I could sink my teeth into and apply to my life. So God's will for me is to be happy, joyous, and free. Now I'm sober and I wake up and it's like, oh my God, I'm in a convent. Denial is a powerful thing. So at about a year sober, the sisters asked me to take a leave of absence, which I was grateful to do, and with the stipulation that I not go home to my alcoholic family in New York, or for sure I would relapse. They found a family in St. Louis for me to stay with, and that family was a godsend. That's a God story in itself, really. I'll talk more about God stories in a few minutes, but there are so many God stories in here, I have to try to scrunch it down. So I went on a leave of absence, and I would visit the sisters throughout that year. But at the end of the year, I decided that I wasn't ready to make that kind of a commitment. So I decided to end the leave of absence and leave the convent with the thought that maybe I would go back someday. I wasn't sure yet. So sobriety was the beginning of being true to myself. I went to as well as AA meetings, I went to ACA Al-Anon meetings to learn about being codependent and how much of a people pleaser I was, / am a little bit. The first meeting I went to, those people really loved me before I could love myself. There were times I knew I needed to share. My therapist would say, you got to share. And I'd just stick my hand up and say, I don't know what I need to say, but I know I need to talk. So that was a really wonderful place of growth and nurturing for me. I also, in the first couple years of sobriety, I also went on a weekend called the Effective Living Seminar. And that seminar introduced me to the power of affirmations and visualizing what I want in my life, and that by visualizing, I could attract it into my life. That was an exciting concept. I used to have anxiety attacks. When I was in the convent, I would help lead retreats, and I'd have to read in front of a group of high school seniors, and my heart would race, and my palms would sweat, and my voice would crack, and I thought for sure I'd rather just pass out, but that didn't happen. But as my recovery unfolded, I was more and more comfortable within myself, that I got more comfortable being in front of other people. And I have always loved to sing, and so I started singing in front of people, and that was also a part of my growth. I had many wonderful counselors and spiritual directors to help me, and I began the adventure of finding out who Kathy was. As I mentioned, being a people pleaser, I had lost my identity in the process. So as I continued to stay sober and work on myself, I got honest enough with myself to realize that I had felt different from other people. As far back as I can remember, I always felt like I didn't fit in. There was something different about me. And after much struggle, I finally came out on December 8th of 1988. So Monday was actually 20 years since I accepted that part of myself. When I came out, I had done a lot of inner child work about reparenting the wounded, scared little girl inside of me. And when I finally accepted that part of me, I could see little Kathy jumping up and down, "Yay, you finally listened to me!" Because that's been a truth for me ever since I can remember. So I came out by telling my boyfriend at the time, Marty, that I needed to, that I thought I was gay and that I needed to date women to find out. And he was actually very supportive and said that he was ready to date other women too. Well, coming out did not solve my relationship issues, however. Was that ever a disappointment? So I've had many growth opportunities through the years as I continue to be true to myself or learn how to be true to myself and give up people-pleasing. I realized that if I'm not being honest about what I want and need, then I'm not being fair to anyone else. That was a big realization. I thought it was my job to make everyone else happy, and I'll just get through it somehow. On some level, I really feel that I chose to be gay in this lifetime as a growth opportunity. By being something that I can't change for anyone, no amount of people-pleasing is going to change this for me. I needed to accept this if I'm going to be at peace within myself. So like it or not, this is who I am. I've heard it said at Al-Anon meetings, actually, what other people think about me is none of my business. So I'm still working on getting more comfortable with that. Part of being true to myself was deciding to leave the Catholic Church. I had gone to a group called Dignity, which is a gay and lesbian Catholic group, but I still felt like I was trying to get Mom and Dad's approval, and I needed to let go of that and just be true to myself. So I joined a gay-friendly church, and that became my spiritual family in St. Louis for 8 years. I sang in the choir and did special music, and I became a prayer partner, and I realized I really loved praying with people and nurturing their spiritual growth and being supportive of their growth. I remember when I became a member of that church and I walked up to the altar to become a member, as I walked up, I felt this guilt like I was betraying the Catholic Church, because again, it's the one true religion. And yet I knew I needed to just let go of that and act as if I didn't carry that guilt with me and just let it go as much as I could. I need to mention the Serenity Sisters here for a moment. When I was a couple years sober, I started writing songs like the one I shared with you. And I met my friend Sue, and that in itself is a God story. And we sang together for 8 years in St. Louis. We were trying to figure out what to name ourselves. And I remember hearing that the Doobie Brothers came up with their name because one day they were hanging out passing a doobie. For those who don't know, that's a marijuana cigarette. And I thought, well, Sue and I are sober in recovery. What are we about? Well, we're about serenity, spirituality, trusting God. That's what our music's about. So I thought, Serenity Sisters. Now, the teenager part of me thought that was very hokey, but we stuck with it. I liked it. So as I mentioned, we sang together for 8 years in St. Louis. We recorded 3 cassettes. And towards the end, we did prison ministry, which was very rewarding. In 1999, I moved to San Diego, and shortly after arriving, I took a meditation class. And I found such peace in meditation. I felt so nurtured by meditation that I didn't feel I needed to find a church. So for several years, I didn't go to church. Meditation was my way of recharging spiritually, and that and 12-step meetings, and that was all I needed. But after a while, I started longing for a spiritual family again. I visited a few churches, and then my partner at the time found the first spiritualist church in City Heights. And I loved the spirituality of spiritualism. I love the messages from angels. I love knowing that our loved ones are still walking with us and loving us and supporting us. It was so therapeutic to let go of that sadness or loneliness that people have passed on they're still here, they're still with us, and I love that. When we broke up, I found the first the fraternal spiritualist church, where Reverend Milley is our pastor. And I went to my first service on December 31st of 2006. It was a wonderful combination. That service was a wonderful combination of music, spirituality, and messages from the angels. And I knew I'd finally found my new home. Yet I could hear that inner critic starting up again, wanting to push everyone away. So right after service, I went up to Janie and said, "Hi." Janie's our choir director, and I said, "I'd love to join the choir, and I'd love to do special music." And she said, "Great." So that kind of sealed the deal. I was committed to come back. Yeah. Going to choir practice on Tuesday night, I would see Millie walk in for her spiritual development classes. And I had heard that they were 3 hours long. And I thought, what do they do for 3 hours? And Millie would say, "Come if your heart feels like it." I thought, okay, I'll have to wait a while. But then I met a friend of Janie's, Cindy Walker, who described the class for me a little bit more in depth and about the circle that happens in the class, that there are loved ones lining up to have their chance to come in and visit, and that it's hard to stop the class because there's so many loved ones who want to come in and say hello. I thought, I've got to go to this class. So I went. April 17, 2007 was my first class. And the class began with God stories, where members of the class share an experience or experiences they've had in the past week or so where they could see God touching their lives. They could see miracles in their lives. That's the first hour. Then there's a coffee break, and then we come back in for the circle. And during the circle, we turn off the lights so that we can see more of the energy of the angels or the energy of our loved ones. And we start with a prayer, and we pray our Lord's Prayer, and then we sing a song about the angels coming around. And I was going to go into that, but for the sake of time, I'll skip over that. But you'll have to come to a class to get the full view. So I watched a couple of circles develop that night, and then since I was new, I was the last circle. And everyone in the class got to practice their spiritual development, their attunement on me, since they didn't know that much about me. And I think it was Spencer who started off by saying, "You feel guilty about leaving the Catholic Church." My head said, "No, I don't." But my heart said, "Yes, I do." I realized how heavy I felt, and I just started to cry. And then someone saw a priest collar on my buddy George and said, "There's a priest here." And someone else said, and it's a very tall man. Now, Monsignor Heidi was my pastor, and he was a tall man. And I knew that he was there. And different people started coming in. One woman said, "I'm getting the letter L." I'm thinking, "Who's L?" And then a woman behind me said, "My head feels heavy. I feel like I can't lift my head." Now, sometimes the energy will kind of hover over a person to give them a sense of signals of, you know, something about that person so that we can get a clue as to who they are. Because our attunement isn't perfect, and so we do the best we can. I realized that was Lisa Crawford. She's a woman who entered the convent after I left. She was there only for about 2 or 3 months and left, and within about a year of leaving the convent, she committed suicide by shooting herself in the head. To know that she and Monsignor Heidi and then someone saw so many priests and nuns there in spirit all telling me the same thing, which is that I had to let go of the guilt. The guilt was weighing me down, and that I needed to leave the Catholic Church in order to grow. There was no way I could have grown if I had stayed. And that was so healing. That was worth more than hours of therapy, I have to tell you. There have been many powerful circles since then, and I'm in my second year of class. And I'd just like to share one more experience about the class. Last April, I had a very powerful experience. Before that class, I had asked Millie if she was getting anything about my grandpa. My grandpa was an alcoholic. He was like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, abusive alcoholic. And since he had passed away in 1984, I've never gotten a message from him. I've never heard from him. Millie said, he's working on some things, but he's going to be giving you a gift at your birthday. So I was like, okay, that sounds good. Well, one night my grandpa and my grandma both came through. Their energy came through, and I thought that that was it. But a couple weeks later, I'm standing in the circle again with my friend George, a few other people in the circle, and George says, I see a cross with Kathy. And I'm thinking, well, I love Jesus. I guess that's what it's about. And then he goes, this cross is very heavy. You know, it was a heavy burden. And I knew what it was. I had been identifying myself as an alcoholic for so long that it had become a hindrance to my spiritual growth. Because I'm more than that. You know, we all have parts about us, but we're more than that. And I realized, well, my grandpa felt bad about inflicting the alcoholism on our family and the abusive behavior on our family, and he wanted to help lift that from me. Well, that was another sobbing kind of circle. It was a very healing circle, and I could feel that heaviness lift from me as the circle progressed. And that healing continued for weeks thereafter. So again, I never could have condensed that much healing in all the years of counseling that I've done. I mean, all of it's been good and powerful. But the healing I've experienced in Millie's spiritual development classes are just amazing. To know that your loved ones love you and are still with you is so much more powerful than to just believe it. I really know it now because of the experiences I've had. And I love this little church for the gifts that it's given me through our messages on Sunday, through the classes, and just the love that we all share when we're all together. And as Millie says, now you know that you know. So these are the highlights of my spiritual journey. And we all have a journey. And I'd like to invite you to take the time to reflect on where you've been and to see the hand of God working in your life. Again, I'm so grateful to Millie and to our little church and for all of you for being a part of my journey. We are truly children of the light, and I encourage you all to let your light shine. Thank you for giving me this time.